Well, today, the second Sunday of Advent, is a Sunday of peace. And peace is a big part of our tradition, a big part of what we believe. It's maybe so big that we sometimes even forget about it. It's so comprehensive, but it's one of Jesus' titles, the Prince of Peace. There's just all kinds of good things about peace. It's all over the place. Well, where is it then? Does that ever cross your mind? I mean, here we are. We've lit a candle for peace. There it is. But do we have peace? Well, let's give some thought as to what peace might mean. At least one military strategist said that peace is a word invented by civilians to note the fact that sometimes there aren't wars. That being the usual state of affairs, I think that might be a little over-cynical, kind of amusing in its own way. Peace is one of those things that is so much larger than simply the absence of conflict between geopolitical forces, tribes, nations, countries, all that sort of thing. But when we think about peace, it's something we want. But is it real? Is it here? Is peace only a thing for the future, one of those not yet things? Well, the answer to that is so frequently the question to things that matter. The answer is yes and no. Because peace is a not yet thing. There will come a time when there will be perfect peace, when the picture that we see in Isaiah of lions and lambs lying together, about little kids playing with poisonous snakes, not because they're immune to poison, but because that interspecies conflict is even gone. That's not here yet. That's in the future. That's when God will return in the form of Jesus. This world, which is fallen, which is having so many difficulties, will be returned to what it's supposed to be. It'll be new and perfect. But we're not there yet. We've all seen the occasional picture of a lion and a lamb that somebody has cleverly put together, and that's quite true, but I think we can safely say that it's not the pattern of behavior for lions and lambs to enjoy each other's company, while one enjoys one more than the other. Well, if we only think that peace is the absence of all conflict, then we're going to be a little demoralized every time we light the candle of peace, because it's simply not there. I mean, we ourselves are not in a war zone. Although we may know people who are, we're quite distant from that kind of conflict. But there's other kinds of conflict also, aren't there? The conflict between siblings, between parents and children, between partners, between communities. There's conflict everywhere. For many of us, there's conflict within ourselves. Peace is so much more than the simple absence of someone trying to kill you. And when we expand our definition of peace beyond that simplistic political view, then we can see peace. And peace isn't just a not yet thing. It's a now thing and a not yet thing. In the same way that salvation is now and in the future, we are saved, we are being saved, we will be saved, which you can conveniently say in one word in Greek that we need several to. We are at peace. We will be at peace. We can have the two together. Paul writes in our epistle reading in verse 5 of chapter 15, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement," this is in the New International Version, "give you a spirit of unity among yourselves." And then down in verse 7, "accept one another." That kind of sounds like peace to me. Because that's in a very real sense where it all begins. If we start with our closest area of conflict, namely that entirely within ourselves, what's the problem there? And hopefully most of us have made good strides in getting past our internal conflict. But when we think back perhaps a few years ago, a number of years ago, to when we were, say, adolescents, and we were not at peace with ourselves. Why not? It's because we didn't understand ourselves, we didn't like ourselves, we weren't where we wanted to be. And that can still be the case today. How are we at peace with ourselves? We are at peace with ourselves when we understand that this is who we are for this moment. We're not perfect, but this is where we are. We are in a position to do things from this point, not one that we wish we were at. And when we release ourselves from that ongoing insistence that we be the best selves that we can imagine, and accept that we can be the best selves now, we can be at peace with ourselves. People who are chronically dissatisfied with their career, with their looks, with their level of fitness, with how much money they make, are never at peace with themselves. And if you're not at peace with yourself, it's very difficult to be at peace with anyone else. Being at peace with yourself doesn't mean that you've settled. It doesn't mean that you're saying, this is as good as it gets. You're saying that this is where I am today. That God has worked with me and through me to get me to this point. And no, I'm not perfect. I'm still part of the fallen world, and there are still things I need to work on and that I'm working on even now. But I can be at peace with who I am now. I can be grateful for all that I have learned, all that I have grown through. I can be grateful for the person I am now, even as I look forward to becoming more so the person I was created to be in the future. And when we can come to that understanding, not ignoring the things we still need to work with, but being at peace with where we are at this moment, then we can start being at peace with others. It is so much easier to accept other people's faults when you've learned how to accept your own. Because none of us is faultless. And none of the people that we interact with are faultless either. How are we at peace with them? How are we at peace with our irritating neighbor? Or that sibling that has such a ridiculous view on that important subject? How could they have gone so wrong? Well, we can be at peace with them if we look to them not just for those things that irritate us, but their essential humanity. For those people we know well, for those siblings, in my case, for those brothers who so frequently get things wrong, I can see how far they've come. I can see how much they've grown and how wonderful they are. That makes it easier to be at peace with them. Part of it comes from understanding that in the same way that we are growing, so are they. And that if we want to help them to grow, we should probably start by not disliking them, by not feeling that we're in conflict with them when we quite likely are not. As we're looking at our texts today, it just seems kind of odd that we have John the Baptist showing up on the second Sunday of Advent. How's this for a way to introduce the whole notion of being at peace with each other? You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? How's that worked? Have you ever tried something like that on somebody that you're trying to resolve a conflict with? Well, probably not. I don't think it would work very well. John the Baptist doesn't sound like he's bringing peace. But John the Baptist wasn't charged with bringing peace. John the Baptist is opening the way for the peacemaker. That was John's role. That's what John did. John called people to repentance, to be sure, which is at peace with God. But his bigger role was to open the door to introduce people to Jesus. And Jesus is the one who brings peace. Of all the many things that Jesus did with the incarnation, when Jesus came to become a human being just like us, Jesus demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is possible to live at peace with everyone. It doesn't mean that you ignore things that shouldn't be ignored. We think of when Jesus tossed the people out of the temple who were misusing it as a place of business. It doesn't mean that we simply settle. It doesn't mean that we never confront evil. It doesn't mean that we never speak our minds, because Jesus certainly spoke his mind. But what it means is that we are at peace with people. We are seeking the best for them. We are believing the best for them. And Jesus did that his entire life, even including the end. When he asked that his Father would forgive them because they didn't know what they were doing. That's a life that creates peace. Jesus knew who he was, and we can know who we are too. And that's where it all begins, is understanding that we are of ultimate worth, that Jesus came to die for each of us, to demonstrate to each of us the possibility of the greatness within us all, to remind us that we were created for good things. We're born into a fallen world and we suffer the consequences of that, but that's not the end of everything. And we don't have to wait for the end of all things to enjoy peace. We can do it now. We begin with being at peace with ourselves and at peace with God through repentance, through a relationship with God, through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And from there, we then go on to create peace wherever we can. In our families, in our neighborhoods, homes. We support initiatives that are working towards peace. We support people who are trying to be peaceful. We do our best to look past the actions of people that are reprehensible, because they often are, to the people themselves, and say, that person still has value. And because they do, I'm not allowed to hate them. Peaceful people don't hate people. Peaceful people see that the spark of God is within us all. Some, it seems like it's a guttering flame. Some, it's like a blowtorch. But it's there within all of us. And we can be part of fanning it into flame to make it bigger in those around us and in the world around us. Oh, few of us are called to be peacemakers, writing treaties between one country and another and bringing that kind of peace. But we can all work at being at peace with the people in our circle. At this time of year, it is very easy for us to bring little pools of peace and serenity as we do the things that we do in our regular lives, because anyone who's in retail at this time of year could use your peace given to them by taking that extra moment to be just a little bit kinder than you would be even normally, to give that extra bit of patience to someone who's not doing anything wrong because of you. They're stuck in a system that isn't working the way it's supposed to. Nobody goes to work at any kind of a store and says, I really hope the cash register doesn't work today. Nobody goes there saying, I hope we run out of the thing that everybody wants. Taking that moment to be kind to those people. Being kind to the people you interact with in lines and all the rest of it. This is a stressful time for many people. And as we say Merry Christmas to those around us, let's be reminded that for some it's a tough time. And let's be open to allowing them to go through what they're going through. And that's another way of extending peace. Not saying that everything is fine, because everything isn't fine. This will be the first Christmas for many of us without a loved one. That's not fine. We can still be at peace with that. We can grieve and be at peace at the same time. And we can help people in that path if we too are people of peace. It's not easy being a peacemaker, but it's very rewarding. It's one of those things that we can do in our own little way, wherever we are. And every time we do it, we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus, who came to bring peace, who came to live out the reality of that title of his, Prince of Peace. And so this day, as we reflect on what it means to light a candle for peace, let's remember to look for the peace within ourselves. Remind ourselves of the peace that we are at with God. And from there, just spread out the peace that we've received to all who need it. We might bring honor to Jesus as we do our best to become the people we were created to be and to resemble Him in this wonderful way. Amen.